This episode of Info Product Mastery, we chat with email marketing and automation expert Jason Resnick on how segmentation and personalization can drive more sales to your info product or online education business. This is Info Product Mastery, episode 19. Welcome to Info Product Mastery, the podcast that helps developers, educators, entrepreneurs launch and grow their online education businesses, whether you're just looking to create a passive income stream or building a full-time living. I'm your host, Adrian Rosbrock. Today, we're going to talk about email marketing and why it's paramount to the success of your info product or online education business. You've heard me mention before on the show that while a sale technically happens on a page where the customer is entering in their credit card information or their PayPal information, the sale psychologically happens inside their inbox. It's the copy within the body of your email that actually convinces your subscriber to become a customer. There's a reason why email marketing tends to convert better than social media in the vast majority of circumstances. That's because an email inbox is inherently more personal and intimate than a social media profile. Think of an email inbox as sliding into someone's DMs. It's super personal, right? It's an area the vast majority of people that they just don't have access to. So it stands to reason that if you want to maximize sales, you need to invest time and attention into your email marketing pipeline. Today, to talk about email marketing automation, we have Jason Resnick on the show. Jason is not only a fellow developer and coder, but he's also a marketing automation expert who currently runs NurtureKit.co, a service business where he helps clients optimize their ConvertKit email accounts to maximize leads and sales. Jason is the real deal, and I can personally attest to his skills. Black Friday and Cyber Monday, you know, they're a huge deal for all online education businesses. And the final Black Friday campaign that we ran before Pyramid Search was acquired, we hired Jason to come in and help us configure our email campaigns. Not only was it just awesome working with him, but I also learned a few tips and techniques from him along the way. Thank you for being here, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Adrian. And thanks for the glowing testimonial as well. I appreciate that.
Of course, man. Like I said, it was really great working with you back in the Pyramid Search days and just learning from your wealth of knowledge. Back then we were using Drip, but I also know like you work in other systems like ConvertKit and ActiveCampaign. And you know, once you kind of learn one, it makes it a lot easier to learn the other. It's like your first programming language, whether you like picked up Basic or C++ or Python, you know, whatever. When you're learning a new programming language, learning your original programming language, you're not really learning just the syntax. You're learning the logic flow. You're learning how all the pieces come together. And then when you go to learn your second programming language, well, you already have basic logic flow in your head. You're just kind of like learning the little things that make that particular language different from the other one. And I think email marketing campaigns are the same way, you know? Have you experienced that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, it's really about the methods, philosophies, and flows, as you mentioned, of a subscriber through a platform, whether that platform is Drip, ConvertKit, Infusionsoft, Keep, or whatever the case may be. It's all the same. It's just syntax, right? Like it's the application and the nuances of that application that you kind of have to understand and to do the things that you actually want it to do. You know, like I grew up as a Java developer, right? J2EE days, and then I moved over into Ruby, PHP, you know, and each step along the way, it was like, oh, okay, I just need to learn how each of those coding languages, the syntax behind it. Everything else is pretty much like 80% the same. It's just what's that other final 20%? And that's syntax and really some of the nuances in there. So email marketing is exactly the same way. I've shifted my career. I started on Drip and Infusionsoft back then and still work on Drip these days. I have some clients in Keep, but most of my clients are on ConvertKit these days.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious, like how does a Java developer get into the world of email marketing and automation? Like those just seem like completely different worlds. Like how was it like a slow gradual decision or you just wake up one day and be like, you know what, I'm sick of Java. I'm sick of Ant and Maven and like Eclipse. I'm going to throw all that away and just learn how to become a copywriter and build marketing automation systems.
Yeah, you know what? It was slow moving, but as you know, hindsight's 2020, it makes a lot of sense to me for as long as I can remember, I was always like this, you know, person who loved to pay attention to human behavior. I minored in psychology, you know, in college, just be able to see how humans behave in certain uncomfortable situations, groups, just figure out what makes a person tick, not just the individual, but when they're a part of a group as well. And for me, that was just like maybe a little bit morbid or something, but it's something that really interested me. And I was always very math brained, very science brained. And I got into development early, you know, pre-internet days and so on and so forth. And when the internet came around, I flocked towards e-commerce. This is pre-Amazon as well. So like days of like trying to figure out how you're going to get somebody to take out their wallet and put a credit card online. Like that was the challenge back then, right? So for me, I went towards that when many other developers didn't. They were just like, hey, there's a lot of moving parts here. There's, you know, I don't want to deal with this. But one, back then, because it was interesting to me to solve that problem. But two, I started to learn like, hey, businesses, if I can put myself more towards the bottom line, then I become more of an asset towards that business if I can do what I say I can do, right? And so I really just morphed my business. When I started my business in 2010, I was a developer. I then pivoted towards subscription-based and membership-based websites, developing custom code for them. And it was that time when email started playing a role. Because at that time, Drip came around, Infusionsoft was there, and starting to learn the behaviors of the inbox, as you mentioned right at the top, that it's such a personal space. A lot of that data that happens inside of the inbox is really who that individual is, right? What is up on social media, what people like on, what people, that's like the best of the person. That's who they want people to perceive them as, right? But the inbox, very similar to podcasts, which analytics don't really help us there either. But what you could kind of find out about the audience, a lot of it sits within that inbox. And so I started tying what was happening on the inbox to what was happening on a website. And at that time, it was just, hey, they bought product A, or they clicked on product B a few times. Let's show them product B on the website and make dynamic calls to actions on the website. And that's where it started for me. I was like, hey, this is pretty powerful stuff because you're actually marrying things and giving the stepping stones for where you want your customers to go. And I basically just went all in on email marketing and automation in about 2016 and haven't looked back since.
That's great. Yeah, you know, I think back to when I was learning email marketing and just marketing copywriting in general. And you mentioning minoring in psychology just, you know, jogged my memory of this. But there was this podcast back then called The McMethod Podcast, and it was hosted by John McIntyre. And he had these podcast guests on, and John's an awesome copywriter, but his call to action was basically just join my email list to find out the 7-letter word that underlines all of copywriting. And if you join his email list, the word was empathy, right? And if you can get into your customer's brain and get in your subscriber's mind and understand really what makes them tick, and not only what their goals are, but I think more importantly, in most cases, what their fears are, whether that's fear of losing something or fear of not succeeding, well, that makes it so much easier for you to write copy that converts. So I think that psychology background that you had, you know, phenomenal. And it's probably why like you've been so successful you are today, is because you understand that. You inherently just through your studies get why people tick and what their motivations are. As a developer, what resources, if any, did you learn or did you pick up to learn email marketing and copywriting?
Yeah, it's weird. And people have said, like, your brain just does not work as most email marketers that I've spoken to. And I don't look at myself as a copywriter. That was something that I really had to study, pursue. Like, I mean, reading old school newspaper ads and just trying to learn as much as I possibly can on the email copywriting side. But as a developer going towards that, what I really learned was, let's pay attention to some of the things that attract me on the inbox side of things, right? And that was the first step is like, hey, why did I click on this? Like, why did I open this email? What were the actions that I was taking? So I was being almost very methodical around that. And then I went and I, much like many developers do, they reverse engineer how something works, right? So I put myself into an enormous, probably obnoxious level of various different email marketing funnels out there to the point where like my inbox now is like, you know, I'm unsubscribing from emails all day long, but it's just really just kind of seeing like how things are stitched together. And because I'm a developer and I came from that background, I could connect the dots fairly easily, right? Like I could be like, okay, well, they're using this tool and I have this tool. I can do the same thing there, right? So not so much tool-based, but really just trying to figure out the philosophies behind things, right? Like I am a service-based business, yet I do have an info product side of the business. I work with a lot of membership sites, subscription sites, info product clients, and I have worked with D2C brand, right? And all of those markets are very different. And yet I would say 3/4 of what each of those markets do is very much the same, right? And so it's a matter of trying to blend that with what you know works, and then understanding the audience that you're trying to speak to, right? So a concrete example of this is especially in the service-based business, right? Like what I run, it's understanding one, the desire of the individual that's on your email list, and two, the motivation behind that individual as well, right? Meaning the desire is they want more sales, right? Who doesn't want more sales, right? Obviously, but what's their motivation? Right? Is the motivation so that they can get away from the screen, that they can step away from having to do sales for themselves? Are they trying to exit? You know, figuring out what that motivation is definitely puts you as the writer and the marketer in a position to say, okay, they want more sales, but that reason behind the sales is actually what's going to make them buy. Right. And so if you can understand those two pieces of the puzzle, it makes selling in the inbox a lot stronger. You can get that click and get over to the sales page. And the sales page, you know, it's a handshake, right? In the inbox is where the emotion sits. On the sales page, that's where the individual's logic kicks in. They're like, hey, do I really need this thing? Do I need, you know, they really start going through all the questions in their mind. But if you've hit home on the actual inbox side, the emotion side, if they actually feel that you understand who they are, it doesn't matter what's going to go on the logic side of things. They're going to go try to find that buy button. And that's been the most impactful thing that I've learned through email marketing is like, you can have the best automation, the most high-tech stuff going on, but really it's the words on the page and making that connection with the subscriber.
I like that a lot. You know, you and I were talking offline about the fact that there's this kind of stigma, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not, it doesn't really matter. But the important thing is that there's this stigma that developers don't make good marketers or copywriters. Like their brains just don't necessarily, you know, they're not processing the information the same way that you're someone who's classically trained as a marketer would. And I think that's really because of the reverse engineering component is that as developers, we're linear thinkers. We think from A to B to C. And then, you know, and because of that, it's easy for us to reverse engineer and go from C to B to A. That's a linear process. But copywriting and sales, that's a highly nonlinear process because now emotion is involved. So anytime as a developer that you can get a little bit of logic flow in there, obviously take that to its conclusion. Milk that for whatever it's worth. But understand the underlying thread is still going to be all about emotion. And I think going back to what we were talking about earlier, like a little bit of psychology, a little bit of empathy, man, that goes a long way. That goes just so far to relating to your customer. And especially in the world of small business, people aren't buying brands. They're buying you, the individual, the personality, right? Like the person who has the email signature at the bottom of the email saying like, Adrian from Info Product Mastery or Adrian from Pioneer Search, like they're buying that individual because they connect with you so well. And anything you could possibly do to facilitate that relationship, to develop that emotional connection, I mean, do it. Do it as much as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went back through an automation today, right? And what we were saying before is you kind of have to leave things sitting for a little bit to kind of see how things shake out, right? And so I did something inside of my own business where I was testing out a new growth tool to get more email subscribers to my list. And one thing that I noticed was basically that that experiment wasn't grabbing the individual's first names. And I just, over the past month or so, I noticed whoever was unsubscribing, the vast majority of them happened to be coming from this experiment. So I was like, how do I solve this problem? Me, I like to create those emotional connections. You know, nobody has a friend that they have a connection with without knowing who they are, right? So I was like, okay, I could easily create an automation that 3 days later, if I don't have their first name, let me just send an email and ask them to give me their first name, right? Well, what I noticed was after putting that in place, right? And it's still early because, again, this is only 30 days into this experiment. But what happened was 30% of the people that came in through this experiment unsubscribed before putting this automation in place. After this automation, it was 13%, right? And the only thing that I could think of, right? Obviously, you know, it's small sample size. I think it was like 400 people have gone through this whole thing. But at the same time, thinking about it, that just single email, that makes, and it's a simple email saying, hey, I know you came on the list via this, and I just don't have your name yet. And I'd like to know your name. Mind clicking this link and dropping your name in. Simple thing. It creates that connection of being seen, right? Because they know where they came from, or maybe not. Maybe they don't know how they got on my list in the first place and whatever. But at the same time, 3 days later from when they opted into something, they remember at least that, right? And it's at least allowing them the notion that they've been seen and I care. And that goes along with that empathy, right? It's, hey, oh, this person actually, you know, I'm just not a number. I'm just not somebody that's getting his email 6 times a week kind of thing, right? So it's that. It's just allowing somebody from a simple level to be able to then say, oh, okay, I know this person is trying their best to help me out, right? And it's funny because not everybody is going to take the action and give me their first name. But yet the churn rate on that experiment has drastically reduced. And it could be just because the only thing I changed was that, you know, that one single email. Everybody for 30 days has gotten those the same emails, right? So the only difference is that one email. So just being able to then just be a human being, right? And I have this saying that I always say is when you treat the email list like humans, amazing transformations happen. And for me, that's all it takes sometimes. And as a developer ourselves, a lot of times we're ultra people pleasers, right? Like we want to be liked. We want to do these kind of things in a nice way. Just use some of the tech skills that you have and be like, hey, how do I do that? How do I just reach out and shake somebody's hand, right? And sometimes that's all it really takes.
That's interesting. Like what a fun experiment to run and then notice like, man, like I'm getting a lot more unsubscribes from this batch of people whose emails aren't as personalized because I don't have their first name. On your social media, I see you talk a lot about the importance of engagement in your email campaigns. Is reaching out and asking for someone's first name or some other identifying piece of information or like segmenting them to figure out what their interests are, like, is that a form of engagement? Like I would love to hear you talk more about that because I find the topic so fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people confuse segmentation and personalization.
Okay.
Segmentation is putting the individual into a group of other individuals. Personalization is based off of segmentation to that individual, right? And so if you can personalize some part of the email at a clear, like a basic level, right? I have an email list. On that list, there are designers, developers, writers, VAs, right? It's 5 or 6 different kinds of freelancers, right? But if I know who that individual is, the topics that I talk on with that list, it's irrelevant to coding, design. It's all about business, the business of freelancing. Yet, if I know that they're a developer, the tagline in the newsletter changes, right? It basically says a newsletter designed for developers, right? To build recurring revenue, right? And that's all it is. So developers, designers, writers, that switches out. But that tagline there, just, hey, I identify as a developer. I know that, you know, this is something for me, right? Instead of just freelancers, which then lumps me into this big group of people that, hey, maybe this email isn't going to be for me. But if it says developers there, then yeah, this email's for me, right? Like, it's instant alignment. And one of the most powerful ways that you can do that is asking how they describe themselves, right? And it's as simple as that, right? Like, what best describes who you are, right? And as any business owner, we kind of know at least what our customers identify with, right? And sometimes we interchange things, right? Like, as a service-based business, I have clients. As an info product business, you might have customers or students, right? Figuring out what they call themselves is one of the best things that you can do. The second thing is figuring out what level they're at, right? And so a lot of people struggle with this, but really I just say, hey, look, this works at all levels. If I am selling TVs, right? If I'm standing in Best Buy and I see a customer looking at TVs, if they are someone who's looking at a 100-inch TV and I walk up to them and I say, hey, what room in the house are you putting this TV in? And they say a studio apartment. Well, we're going to go down a few notches, right? Because there's not that much space. But that's the level of what that individual is at. And so, you know, a lot of times, like on that list, I just quantify how long have you been doing freelancing? 1 to 3 years, 3 to 5 years, 5+. Just understanding those things, because then you know who they are and where they are. And then you can speak to that. And you can learn a little bit more about your list in that way that, hey, most of this list, 65%, 5+ years. Great. Then I could make products for those, right? It goes so deep into the weeds there, but when you are able to personalize things in just very simple, simplistic ways, it's so impactful just on the copy itself, right? Like, I have one of these, I call it a glossary. And I basically, once I know somebody is a developer, then it fills in a few custom fields on the subscriber record. Singular is developer. Plural is developers. What's their action? They code. What's the actual present action? Coding, right? So that this way, when I actually write up the emails, then I can almost say, like, okay, I can swap out this. I can rephrase this sentence that almost becomes like a Mad Lib, right? And it just fills in the blank. And then even at that level, like I said before, they feel seen. They're like, oh, you know, I'm not just putting, hey, if you're a developer, do this. If you're a designer, do this. It's just the one thing, because I know who they are. And it just makes everything, the conversions, even on the back end. Like, you're not selling in that one email, but 5 emails later, if you are, oh, okay. They've recognized that in their head that, hey, they know who I'm talking to, right? And so they're going to trust that signature, like you said, on the bottom to say, hey, Adrian, Jason, they understand who I am. And yeah, I see this similar things online, I'm going to buy from them.
That makes a lot of sense. It's almost like you're saying with segmentation, it's like you're looking at a real life human being and you're saying, I'm going to construct a bell curve for multiple attributes of their life. And then like this one bell curve, like, it could just be income. Like, where are they on the United States bell curve of income? And where are they in terms of, like, you know, the quality of their mental health or like their fitness levels? And like, maybe you build like thousands of these bell curves, you know, and then you could kind of describe a person imperfectly, you know, certainly, but imperfectly through these various bell curves. That would be your segmentation. But when it's actually time to go and talk to that person, you're taking all that data, rolling it up into a single sheet of paper. And that way you could describe that single person. You know how to communicate with that person through all the data you have and any conversation you have with that person. It's personalized through the data you've gathered throughout your research process. It kind of sounds like that's essentially what the difference is between, you know, segmentation and personalization. And I guess my question is, certainly doing the segmentation and gathering these fields, gathering like not only their first name, but the basic surveys, like what do you identify as? How do you like perceive yourself in the world, whether that's a developer or a marketer or, you know, whatever, or a freelancer or whatever else they're doing. that's a lot more work than it is just writing a simple email, because now you got to have like these effectively like if else statements or switch statements in your emails to do your Mad Lib filtering. So I guess my question is, like, what's the expected return? Like, are you getting like a 1.5 times increase in sales, like 2 times increase in sales? Like if someone puts in the effort, what's the payoff for them?
Yeah. So a concrete example of this is I had a client that they have a guitar membership. They teach guitar. They have all these mini courses that they also, mini courses and workshops that they sell. And they came to me and they ran Facebook ads to guitars. And this was all from hobbyists to people that like to play in the church to people that go up on stage in front of thousands of people. They had a wide range of guitarists that they helped. They had a conversion rate off of their Facebook ads at around 4%, which arguably is pretty good considering it's just cold traffic.
Is that ad to subscriber or ad to paying customer?
That was ad to subscriber with a one-time offer.
Okay, customer, gotcha.
Right? So, which to me was pretty good because it was straight cold, right? It was cold traffic. So they had their front end dialed, but yet they weren't really doing anything with those that actually didn't take. Right? They would send like a weekly email kind of thing and that would be it, right? When they hired me and I came on board, we built out a nurture sequence off of the back of that, which basically took them from that one-time offer for 30 days to pitch them again, right? On the same thing, obviously not the same offer, but the same thing. That conversion rate within that 30 days was 15%. So now they were not just breaking even on their ads, they were making money on the ad right off the bat. And then obviously going farther into pitching the membership and other courses, even as their experience level went up. But they basically went from that 4% and then zero and basically just flash sales and things of that nature to 15%, right? So they tripled or more, right? From that. So that nurture sequence was really just designed to figure out who they were and where the individual guitarist wanted to improve upon, right? Because they had, I would say, about 15 different courses, but they had courses on tone. They had courses on the gear. They had courses on just being able to like learn basic chords, right? So maybe they came in, but they weren't really aligned with, you know, the individual course. So at the end of the actual time period, I would say about 75% people got the same pitch, but we would actually start to carve out knowing what they clicked on, what they told us, things like that, to a more targeted course that aligned with what they actually need. So that's just, and that was just really just asking very similar, those questions that I just described before, is just figuring out where their levels are, who they describe themselves as, so that we can then tailor their experience even better and create more conversions on the back end.
Wow. Yeah. 3X right off the bat. That's huge. And also sounds like it's a repeatable process.
Absolutely.
Too. So that it's not just a one-off flash sale. Everyone gets the same offer. You know, you'll be able to pitch people again and again using these personalizations you came up with through that campaign. I think that's a huge win. So tell us about Nurture Kit. Like you used the word nurture already, like describing your personalization. I'm kind of curious, like, how does that all tie in together with the concept of nurturing a subscriber along with the segmentation and the personalization?
Yeah. So as I just kind of implied, even the best ads leave 90 to 95% of the people behind. And the sustainability of your business really happens in the middle of the funnel, right? And that's where, even if you have an open and closed cart kind of model for your business, you're launching 3 or 4 times a year, but what's happening on the other side, right? Like maybe you have like, you know, a $27 product or something like that, but you're not really doing much to bring revenue into your business. The middle of the funnel is where you're going to nurture people. You're going to send out your latest blog post or podcast or video or whatever the case may be, but that's also an opportunity to learn a little bit more about them. They're going to reply to your emails. They're going to click on links. They're going to fill out forms. They're going to download another lead magnet. You know, you're going to start to learn all of these things. So the idea of nurturing people through the middle of the funnel so that you can then pitch them on a product that they actually need, right? And you can do it in a way where it's not even you initiating the pitch. It's them initiating it because they've raised their hand, right? They've clicked on something a few times. They've looked at your sales page 3 times in the last 30 days, right? But yet haven't bought. Well, they know they've checked it out. So why not go ahead and spin off a automated sequence, right? To help them with their buying decision that deepens the relationship and is more personalized towards them. So for me, it's all about the middle of the funnel, nurturing in a smart way, adding in those personalized aspects so that you can build, even if you wanted to keep that launch, you know, I mean, most of my clients, they're basically like, I am exhausted with the launch stuff, right? I've done it so many times. I'm just completely exhausted from it. So evergreening your products in a way, even if you do still want to do the launch, you can with unique bonuses and things of that nature. But those valleys where you're not actually actively selling, you're bringing those revenue numbers up as well because a random Tuesday, somebody fell into your pitch sequence because they clicked on your latest blog post.
Yeah, that's something that we definitely did wrong in the early days with PyMage searches. Someone would join our email list, whether it was from like an email, like a 17-day email crash course or a resource guide PDF or entering their email address to download a source code associated with a blog post. Like, no matter how someone entered in our email list, they always got dumped into the middle of whatever newsletter we were running. We would publish a new blog post every single Monday morning at 10 a.m. So there's always an email going out then. And the subscriber just gets his email out of nowhere, like no context, just boom, like here's the latest blog post. And it can be really, really jarring because the subscriber, like they haven't really committed to you yet. Like, yes, they've entered in their email address, but they don't really know how you can best serve them and what they're going to be getting value from by being on your email list. And like one of the, I think the cheap, poor ways of doing this is like people will send out this like welcome email and it's like, it's so overdone. It's like, welcome to my email list. Like, here's like some things like about me and here's what you can expect to learn. My problem with that is it just feels so me, me, me. Like it's all about the business owner or the company or the individual. It's not about the specific subscriber. So one thing that I've seen that works well is like if you have a WordPress website, you likely tag your blog post and there's plugins that you can use that'll sync the tags of a blog post of what someone views with their like Drip account or ConvertKit account or whatever else. And then when you send them that welcome email, you make it more about the subscriber. And yes, say, here's what you can expect to learn. And oh, hey, by the way, here's the top 10 blog post about the specific topic you opted in to learn more about. So automatically you're getting this like almost personalization for free because you're just keeping track of what blog post they opted in from. I think that's a great little technique. And similar to that, you listeners to this show, they're creating eBooks, they're creating online courses, video tutorials, and all other forms of digital education. So what are some email marketing tips or techniques that these content creators can do to give them a lift in sales?
Yeah, piggyback off of what you just described. Another thing that actually is pretty easy is that on a thank you page, so somebody opts into your free lead magnet or your newsletter or whatever, on the thank you page, you put a segmentation survey on and you pass that information back into your email. So that first email goes out, you've not just had their first name, but like you said, here's a couple of resources. Or, you know, hey, I see you use Drip, right? Like whatever the case may be, like I can personalize that welcome in a much more unique way. But to piggyback that off into a proper sequence, right? And so I'll give you a clear example. In my business, I bring in people that do Drip, ActiveCampaign, ConvertKit, MailChimp, SendFox. Basically, I have a plethora of email platforms on the list. Somebody comes in through my list and I know they are either a Drip or ConvertKit customer. I know most likely they want to personalize their email because both of those platforms in and of themselves push that. They push liquid code, right? Like, hey, this is the templating system that we use. You can go ahead and use that. So I have a couple of welcome emails that talk about my philosophy with them in mind. And then off of that, if I know you're Drip or ConvertKit, I'm going to offer you my product, which is Smarter Emails Using Liquid, right? It's a simple $50 product, but it gives you snippets that you can cut and paste right away and deploy into your email, right? Because from my ideal customer, that's a problem that they have, right? They're worried that if they start messing around with code, the email is going to look like a disaster or break or something like that, right? If you're not, one of the things that I hear a lot about is like, I want to make more money through email, but I don't know what the heck to write about, right? So I don't have a product for that, but yet I know a good product that I can vouch for because it's what I use. And so you go into a sequence that is, I'm an affiliate for, but I'm pitching you on that because I'm solving their problem for that. So basically, if you can identify who that individual is within a couple of emails, you can actually part ways. And if you have multiple ebooks, if you have multiple products, courses, even membership tiers, you could say, hey, this is why this is good for you, right? Not just saying, hey, everybody's getting the same pitch, but it's more targeted towards who they are as the individual. And again, it's because I know that they are looking for this kind of a thing. So it helps you just, you know, and I used to do this beforehand was everybody went into that writing more content kind of course. But yet I noticed that those that were in ActiveCampaign, Keep, Drip, and ConvertKit, they were, I don't want to say on a high level, but basically they wanted more tactics and more personalization inside of their email marketing for conversion purposes. And so I said, well, you know, on ConvertKit and Drip, I write code, liquid code all day long. And there's these snippets that I have in a Notion doc. I can put this together in a product and offer it to them. Right? And now they get a taste of what they can do. And then we can further the discussion later on. But it solves a lot of problems that they have right off the bat. They know the code. They see the output in the PDF download that they get. And they know what it's supposed to look like so that when they actually cut paste, they see, okay, good. This is working for me, right? So for me, to increase sales, you have to be able to really, again, identify what their desire is and their motivation. And if their desire is to personalize emails, but their motivation is to create more sales, those are the two things. And then put that product in front of them and sale actually just, you don't have to sell much to make it happen.
Okay. What tools do you recommend for getting people, like providing the business owners with ways to survey their audience and figure out like what buckets they fall into? Like with Pyramid Church, like we had our primary categories were developers, students, entrepreneurs, hobbyists, and researchers. Those were like the core group of people that would identify as when they visited the Pyramid Search site. And ideally, when a subscriber clicks on, you know, whatever option for them, it should automatically sync to your email list as like a custom field tag or something. So you have that in your database. You could write if else statements or case statements with Liquid. I mean, I've always used Write Message for that, mm-hmm. but you have a lot more experience than I do with those types of tools.
Yeah, Write Message is a great one. ConvertBox is another one. If you have a WordPress site, LogicHop or WP Fusion also does this. All the tools kind of are very similar. It's just trying to figure out what the difference is. Like, you know, if you're just starting out, Write Message can be pricey because it's per month, right? And depending on the plan that you get to look at, you know, it has different tiers. ConvertBox is a one-time purchase. LogicHop and WP Fusion, they're a plugin. I think that you would pay for support, yearly support or something like that. So depends on where you're at in your business. You know, most people that are just starting out, I say go ahead and get ConvertBox because one, you get that functionality. But two, it allows you to then create opt-ins based around that kind of a thing, right? So if you know that they're developers, you can inject the personalization in there. Or if they've opted in to a certain lead magnet, you can display different things, right? And it's just a script. It's a no code kind of solution. It works well. But tools aside, you have to come up with those two questions, right? Like understand those two data points. And once you do, then plug it into the tool and it works well.
Great. I think that's a really good place to wrap it up, Jason. If a listener wants to connect with you or follow you, what's the best place to do that at?
Yeah, NutriKit.co. That's my website. And I'm at Rez with 3 Z's on Twitter. If you want to chat about email marketing or automation, I'm always open for that.
And I can personally attest your Twitter is awesome. You drop like awesome knowledge bombs, great techniques, great tactics. So if you're like interested in the actual nitty gritty details, like follow Jason on Twitter, like absolutely fantastic content. So thank you so much for being here, Jason.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Adrian.
If you have any questions about this episode or suggestions for future episodes, send me an email at questions@infoproductmastery.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcatcher app you use, whether it's Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify. Not only do these reviews help motivate me to create new episodes, but they also help other developers, educators, and entrepreneurs find the show. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.